Daniel.
Good morning. This is not a test. This is not a test.
Oh, because we just got thrown in. I didn't know. We was talking about some other things, but good morning, everybody. Welcome to Lachey's show. And I guess I'm Lachey.
I'm Danny Love. How is everybody?
Everybody's amazing. I got a little cramped, though. I ain't even going front.
You want to touch on that, or is that the extent of it?
Let's just put it like this. I hope this is a quick hour, okay?
Yep. Let's change the dynamic of space and time and make that hour move maybe 55 minutes.
So wait, before we get into anything, I hate to, you know, we kind of just dropped off what we was just talking about. Mm-hmm. So we might as well just include our viewers and our listeners what we were talking about.
Okay.
So we were talking about Jada Pinkett Smith. Mm-hmm. Because she was on this show. She came to mind, A Farewell to Obama. They had a little thing, whatever. And I was telling Pooh when I was watching the show that I was annoyed because I see that Jada fucked with her face. And I was mad about that.
And I didn't know about it. And then you showed me some photos. And it looks like she got little injections in her upper cheeks.
Like cheek implants.
Yeah, like it makes it like little golf balls beneath her eyes. Unnecessary, because she was attractive.
Okay, you say that she was attractive.
I do.
I say that she was beautiful.
Okay.
Okay, this is just my opinion. Mm-hmm. I think Jada Pinkett Smith is a beautiful woman. Just naturally beautiful. Mm-hmm. And for the life of me, I don't understand why would she fuck with her face? I just don't understand. Who talked her into that? Do you have, like, people that's in your circle? It can't be people that love you that would convince you to do that. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, and what's also weird is she's not competing for parts, right? Like, her family name, like, the Smiths have money. It's not like she's 24 trying to get ahead, trying to look like the hottest girl in the room. She don't need any of it.
No.
So it's like, did she get bored?
Like, or maybe it's a case of, I got all of this money. What the fuck could I do?
Right, like she didn't want to get
it.
She didn't want a Mike Tyson face tattoo. She's like, maybe I can get some golf balls implanted in my face.
It just wasn't needed to me. She just was a natural. It's like a good, I don't know, maybe about a good 10 women in Hollywood that, in my opinion, is just naturally beautiful. Don't need nothing.
Ageless.
It's just ageless, don't need no surgery, you don't need to do it. And she was just one of them. And it was kind of shocking to me that you didn't think that, you know, she was beautiful. Because
no,
I know you like the caramels.
Here's,
you know,
the
I mean?
Thing. By me not saying she's absolutely gorgeous, you think that I think she's not.
No, you say, all right, 1 to 10, what you give her?
She's attractive.
1 to 10, Danny.
For Jada Pinkett Smith, before or after the golf balls?
Before.
Before the golf balls, Jada Pinkett Smith was a... like a 7.5.
Okay.
Out of 10. Like,
you're talking about the whole package.
That's another thing.
What do you mean? What are you talking about? Just facially?
She's very pretty. Like, she's a pretty girl. But, like, she's always been kind of like a bony type. Like, she's never had...
you don't like that.
She don't have a lot of thickness on her.
You like thickness, huh?
I need thickness in my life. So that's what makes her a 7, 7.5 and not that next level.
You like bottoms, I remember.
Yeah.
We had that show about...
Yeah.
With me, you, and Apocalypse, mm-hmm. You know, was a bottom top.
Yeah,
show.
We're dialing it back.
Yeah,
yep.
Right. But, oh, okay. So she wasn't a little where you wanted her to be bottom.
She's
bottom-y.
Really pretty. Like, she's like head cheerleader, prom queen, pretty
girl.
Right,
okay.
No issues.
Keep in mind, since the first 5 minutes we started, she just got escalated to pretty, because she wasn't pretty when we first started, by
the way. She was never not pretty.
All right, but you just said attractive. Attractive means, in my...
All those words are one big pot of the same shit.
Passable.
No, there's...
Fuckable.
Passable's a 5, right? Like, that's the middle mark.
Okay.
Her being a 7.5 makes her absolutely fuckable, but
so if you were single...
Yeah.
Would you...
Absolutely. In a heartbeat. All right. If the question is, do you fuck Jada Pinkett Smith or not, the answer is always yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yes or absolutely?
Absolutely. Oh. You fuck any 7.5. If somebody says to any of your buddies, oh, you fuck a 7.5.
Oh, that's the rule. Any 7.5 is fuckable. Okay.
Otherwise, you wouldn't
Are 5s fuckable?
That's where it's case by case.
But 6.
Again, case by... Like, she has to be a really charming 6. She might have to pay for your meal.
Gabrielle Union.
I would fuck her, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
What's her number?
Oh, she's like an 8.5.
Stacey Dash.
Now or then? Now or Clueless?
Now.
Stacey Dash, I mean, she's got a smoking body.
Okay.
She's like a 7.5 too. But okay. She's a different 7.5 because she's fucking crazy.
We don't care about that.
Yes, you don't stick
it's
your
a
dick
smash.
In crazy.
It's not.
There is a rule. You don't stick your dick in crazy.
Okay.
You don't do that.
J-Lo.
8? Just because she's like a fine wine. Like, she's gotten better. Like, 2000.
J-Lo bad.
That's the thing. Like, J-Lo in year 2000 and J-Lo 2017. Like, first of all, nothing's happened to the negative. She's only gotten more, like, good.
Right.
So she's like an 8.
Oh, so far, J-Lo is the top.
Gabriel Union's probably.
The top?
Like, eking 8.2 or something. Gabriel Union is beautiful. Like, she's like, fuck.
Damn!
She was on, don't ask me why, I think I was home from work and my mother had Ellen on or some shit. And she was on Ellen. And I was like, wow, do you not age? Like, it's like she stayed in a fucking closet for 20 years and then just came out. She's like, I'm still 24. She looks good.
I'm watching you. Who else you like? That's it?
You still have to say names. I don't keep track of shit.
Right.
Half the names I know about from
the
show.
Who else some of the good brown girls? Let me see.
Oh, God.
Some other good, nice, attractive ones that I think that you might...
I always take into account, like, craziness and shit, too. That's why...
Well, you don't know
Stacey Dash took... But she's been spitting some weird shit in the last 6 months to a year. Mm-hmm. I don't need that in my life.
I hear you.
You know what I mean? Like, Gabrielle Union, she's, like, married with Dwayne Wade. She's
Carucci.
Doing fucking ape shit crazy. No. I don't even know what she looks like, to be honest. I only know the name.
I think you said you kind of liked how she looked back
then.
In
then make her a 5 and I'll say we'll see.
Maybe.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, how you been?
I've been good. I've been good.
What the hell's been going on since our live show? Matter of fact, this is our first show in the Orange Basement for 2017. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just want to say thank you to everybody who came out to the live show last week at Manhattan Brew and Vine. We had a really good time. Khalil was kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
I like Khalil because he wasn't like all stuck up and coming in here guarding and shit. You know, like,
definitely not stuck up.
He was mad cool and.
But I will say this.
Oh shit!
Not a knock because now we're Instagram buddies, so we're pretty much best friends. Khalil and I.
Shit.
But having said that, when I first when he first kind of joined the set, I feel like he was unsure of me. I feel like he kind of looked at me like, what the fuck is this?
Well, and that's the
here?
Case. He could have been unsure of me too, because he ain't on.
Right. But then as the show wore on.
Mm-hmm. Then he liked you.
Then as I played the song that I played or whatever, he was like, I felt better.
Connected.
I felt like he was more accepting of me, because I feel like he had a little bit of like a on himself.
Oh, he was a little guarded to you?
But then afterwards, we were like talking about living on the coast and our mothers and shit like that. So like, I feel like as time wore on
and
during
badass.
That day.
Badass. Don't forget that.
Badass, we did bond on. So our guest was Khalil Kane. He was in Juice, right? I mean, that's some context to give some people. We're talking about Khalil, like Khalil's the dude who lives up the street.
Right.
Raheem. But yeah, he kind of came in and I felt like he's giving me some cold shoulder. And then as the day wore on, I was like, he's my buddy now.
Yeah, well, you know, that's what you do. You just sell yourself and people just fall in love with you.
That's
you,
what happens.
You have that quality
about you.
You're
right.
You know. But Khalil Kane came through and I appreciated that. He was a damn good guest.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciated his honesty. And, you know, he got some big things coming out for the new years. And hopefully that we could be there and support him.
Sure.
And whatever he does. Also, I just want to do a quick little shouty shout out to Vaughn Cho again for giving us access to Manhattan Brew and Vine. Because Vancho, you already know. That's family. So thanks again.
You know what's very interesting? I've been in that area where that is by Central Park a bunch.
Right.
Hanging out, different events there. If I had known that place was there, that would be the spot. Yeah. But instead, it's like, okay, we're here. We got to go somewhere else downtown to eat.
Right.
Or whatever, hang out.
And you know, by the way, C, Mr. C said that when he was there, he ordered a whole steak and potato free, because you know he greedy. He went and ordered some steak and potato dinner. Mm-hmm. He was like, yo, not for nothing, but that fool was begging. Mm. He was like, that steak was cooked right. That chef is popping, but I didn't get a chance to eat or whatever. But yeah. If C says the steak and the mashed potatoes was popping, then it was popping. So, yeah, shout out to them again. And what else been going on with you since last week?
I don't know if this is a commentary on my life.
Oh, shit.
But the highlight of my week has been yesterday. I went to go see Disney on Ice with my niece.
Well, that's good. And I'm glad it was with your niece.
And yes, that was a highlight.
Okay.
Because, all right, so my niece, you know my niece, she's 7 years old. Mm-hmm. She has, and I'm sure many parents can attest to this, way too many toys. Like, she was the first kid in the family kind of thing. And mm-hmm. Everybody gets the kid toys, and they have a
shelf. Except me.
They have a shelf life of like a day, because mm-hmm. the kid fucking looks at it, loses interest, and then it's done. It's like $60. Boom, whatever.
She hates my gifts because they're always closed.
Well, okay. I told my sister a couple years ago, I said, yo, when your daughter's like old enough to not pee in a diaper anymore, right. We could take her to the bathroom. No more toys. Mm-hmm. We're going straight experiences.
I like that.
And Uncle Danny will take her to all that shit. So we went to go see Cinderella Ballet last year. Tickets to some science show in New York. Now,
you trying to say you a damn good uncle?
I'll let other people say that. Thank you. But the thing is, like, I'm done getting shit that's going to collect dust on a shelf.
I feel you.
So we went to Disney on Ice. And
that's good bonding, too.
It is. Mm. And she brought shit up. She's like, I remember when we went to Cinderella. Aww. I'm like, that's awesome. Mm. Right? So we go there. I had more fun than half the kids.
Really?
Yeah, like, everybody's a Disney fan. I feel like if you're American, if you grew up in America, you know Disney movies. It's just embedded in your fucking DNA.
Right.
I loved it. I really did.
Did she?
She loved it. She was singing.
Was it just you two?
Just the two of us.
Oh, that's nice.
It was cool.
Was this followed up with food?
Her mother had plans for her, so we couldn't go out to eat. But I wanted to. You know my sister plans her kids' shit down to the minute.
Entertainment without food.
Well, we did go to the store, and I bought a bunch of candy that we smuggled in.
Oh, that's good.
So if that counts.
Because you know she ain't getting no candy.
I'm not buying a $10 bucket of ice, bucket of shit. I might be a good uncle, but I'm a cheap uncle.
This is true.
But I did get Disney on Ice tickets.
Are you a cheap boyfriend?
Am I a cheap boyfriend? No. No, I'm not.
Why did you think about it?
Because I had to contextualize it.
Okay.
I'm not a cheap boyfriend. Mm.
All Danny girlfriends or past girlfriends, please hit the Lachey Show at LacheyShow@gmail.com and let me know.
I have
Danny
credit card
popping.
Bills to prove that I am a good gift giver.
Mm.
I'm a considerate restaurant chooser.
Mm.
I do good things.
You sure?
Yeah. Okay. But I do have one question for you, because I am not a parent, about this whole Disney on Ice experience.
Okay, go
so on. We were on like the first seated level. So
you spent some
fucking
money.
A. It was Christmas. It was a Christmas gift. Mm-hmm. So we weren't on the floor. We were like the first elevated. They had seats where some of these skaters dressed up as like fucking Prince Charming or one of the dwarves can skate up to this kid and like high five him.
Oh, that's dope.
Like those tickets were probably like $400 or $500, I'm guessing.
Okay.
I would imagine there was at least one kid in that place who saw those kids, no matter where they were sitting, and were like, Mom, why aren't I sitting right on the ice?
Right.
Why can't I see like the smoke coming up from the ice when they stop?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm saying, like, as a parent, is it like, do you always feel like you need to get your kid front row center, or is like, honey, we're here, that's all that matters?
No, that's all I got enough for. Okay. I got enough for where we at.
Got it. So you don't, like, or how do you feel about the parents who are like, we're going to put you in the Disney dress, doll you up, have the fucking character fly up during the show.
I don't have no problem with
you
that.
You have no problem with the parents
no,
doing
I don't
that.
Have any problem
You don't
with
think
that.
It's like a showy thing?
No, I mean, listen, I try to do a lot for my daughter
right.
as much as the next person.
Yep.
Maybe I can be considered a little bit over the top sometimes. Okay. I get it.
Okay.
And I'm guilty of bullshit. You know what I'm saying? So I don't judge the next person.
Okay.
If you got money to put your kid in a $500 seat mm-hmm. right there in the what you gotta do? You know
got
what
it.
I'm saying? Maybe it wasn't like that for me financially. If I had $500 to throw away on my kid in the front, damn right I'll put her in the front seat too. Mm-hmm. So I don't knock nobody, whatever. Yeah. Walking around with the glitter and the dresses and all that. it's a little kid. It's just an experience. So I ain't mad at that.
I hear you.
You know what I'm saying? And if I was in a situation, if I was a millionaire, if we were super, super, like, well off, if I had more, I tell people all the time to be like, why the hell Malone gotta have it? She don't need a... If I had more, she would have more.
Right.
And that's just how it is. Mm-hmm. It's just... No, but I don't knock nobody hustle for that.
Now, I'm someone without a dog in the fight, right? Like, I don't have a kid.
Right.
But just as an outsider looking at it, I'm like, does that poor kid here...
feel
I was
some
thinking
way?
About the kids feeling a certain way. Because as an adult...
Well, you know, like, if it was my matter. Mother, you know...
You'd be happy just to get in the door,
honey!
Right?
You lucky you here.
Right.
How about that? There's a lot of kids that's not here.
Right.
There's a lot of kids that's sitting in their room and they ain't doing shit right now.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So you're always doing a little bit better than somebody else.
That's
so
true.
Be grateful.
What I was happy about my niece was fucking thrilled that we were able to sneak in peanut butter M&Ms. Because I told her, I went on the website of the Prudential Center and they said, you can't bring in outdoor food and beverage. So I was like, making it a game for her.
Oh my God.
I was like, we're going to sneak in candy.
Right.
And she's like, oh my God. So I'm like, put it in your jacket. Like, you know, I'm trying to. We walked through the little thing and we got into the clear. We were going up the elevator. She like gave me a high five. She was thrilled. Like, that was almost.
Gigi loved doing something dirty.
That was almost as much fun as the show for her. She's like,
know.
Fucking did it.
Oh.
She didn't say fucking. I did. I was like, yeah. But
in her mind, she said it.
In her mind, she's like, fuck yeah. But it was cool. Like, I, you know, my adult life, I interact with all adults.
Mm-hmm.
To be with a 7-year-old for 3 hours.
That was cool.
It was just a different experience. And I enjoyed it. I want to go next year.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, take us somewhere different, though.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, spread this out a little bit.
True.
We don't need to do Disney on ice in the fucking ground. You know what I'm saying?
True. Because then every year the seats got to get better.
Exactly.
In 3 years.
Did she ask you why the hell was she there? And
no.
Then...
Oh, thankfully, okay. She didn't.
Okay. Well, that's good. Well, that's good job, Uncle Danny.
Thank you. How was your week?
It was cool. So Drake, our new member to the family.
Not the rapper.
Not the rapper. The rapper dog.
The rapper dog.
Drake is everybody I told y'all before about our new addition to the family. And you don't remember I said something about Drake? Didn't I say something
Bring
about Drake?
Bring people up to speed.
All right. So Malone got a Christmas gift and the Christmas gift was a dog. And the dog's name is Drake.
What kind of dog?
He's a golden doodle.
Oh.
And for those who don't know what a golden doodle is, that means his mama, or one of his parents, but in his particular case, it's his mother. His mother is a golden retriever, and his dad is a mini poodle. Can you imagine that? Ew,
no,
that sounds gross,
I don't want to.
Right? The mini on top. All right. All right. So anyway, he's a golden doodle, and he is boyfriend dog. He's the sweetest thing. Anybody who comes in here, they immediately fall in love with Drake because he's just a cuddle buddy.
Mm-hmm.
And so boyfriend dog had got a surgery.
Already?
Neuter.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
How old is he?
He's 5 months now.
Is that typical? I don't know what.
It's 5-6 months.
Okay, okay.
Yeah. And he got surgery on Friday. So, you know, I was a little, you know. And then also in addition to that, he also got microchipped.
Oh, so. like LoJack on the dog?
Well, not sort of, kind of. I mean, it's not a GPS system. It's like a chip that they surgically put in his neck in case he's lost, because we don't play that.
That's GPS.
Well, I mean, it's not GPS. Like, if he runs away, we can't find him like that.
You can't dial up some website?
No, they haven't gotten that far yet, advanced with that. So what it does is that if he's lost and somebody is nice enough to want to return him, someone probably white, and they will bring him to the nearest hospital or the nearest precinct, and they will see if the dog is chipped. That's the first thing they do to see. And they take a wand and they scan him, and it's going to go beep, 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 beep. And then it's going to have all the information on who Drake belongs to.
Interesting.
So, of course, you know, Drake is an investment now.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? So he wasn't cheap. But anyway, he had these dual surgeries on Friday, so he was a little out of it. So that kind of, like, you know, took a lot of my time and energy. And then in addition to that, we got our floors done over.
Oh.
Yeah. I know people's like, oh, why are you getting your floors done over when you got a new dog?
So you got new marble put in, right?
We're not at that level. We got wood floors and we got them resanded. Matter of fact, they're doing the other half right now. So if y'all hear clunking and junking up in the background, that's because we getting that finished up. So anyway, boyfriend, dog, and the kid is at mommy's. And, you know, we're getting the floors done. And that's pretty much have been...
It's a domestic... It takes up a lot of shit. All that domestic shit.
But
right?
I just want to say that my floors look amazing.
I'm going to check them out after the show.
Amazing. And matter of fact, if anybody want to know, you know, what they floors done over, I'll give you the dude's name and his information because he on Instagram and he is popping. And matter of fact, I'll even send y'all a picture of my floors after it's done. And that's pretty much consisted of my week.
Wonderful.
So, yeah, we had some full ones. Let's get right into it.
Mm-hmm.
So, the thing that been going on, been everybody yapping about, is the Chris Brown and Soulja Boy fight. Now, we was going to talk about the Chris Brown and Soulja Boy fight last week, but things got wrapped up, you know, with the live show and what it didn't happen. He had about 3-4 topics, but it didn't happen. But... So just to give everybody a little rundown on what this is about. So Chris Brown and Soulja Boy have been going back and forth on Instagram since forever. Okay. The initial, well, I'm going to punch you in your face feeling came when Soulja Boy posted a picture of Karrueche. And I think he put the like hearts and the eye emoji or something like that. And Chris Brown was not feeling that at all. Now. Sidebar. If your rival or somebody that you don't particularly care for, I'm just saying.
Can I just go on record and say I have no rivals? If somebody wants to be a rival, let me know.
Okay, maybe that wasn't a good word. Let me switch this. Mm. Somebody y'all like. Don't say you like everybody because you're a damn
liar. I hate a lot of people.
Okay. And that somebody don't like you.
Okay.
And they posted a picture of your ex with some heart emojis. How would you feel about that?
Can I first say that I wouldn't know if somebody I don't like is posting shit about anybody because I'm not going to be following them on social media.
What if they added you?
I would fucking do it.
How would you feel about it, though?
How would I feel if somebody I don't like is liking my old...
No, not liking. I said posted a picture.
That's actually happened to me.
With heart emojis?
Not heart emojis, but if you want to go back about how old am I? Maybe 15 years.
I don't think Instagram was made.
It was
then.
Not, but I was dating a girl. We dated for about a year, and then after we had a shitty breakup, within 6 months,
she was smashing
a dude
your best
from
friend.
My town, because she was from out of town, a dude from my town that I was not very fond of,
okay.
started dating her,
okay.
and they were doing the 15 years ago version of Instagram, which is just like posting on your MySpace, telling everybody and their mother
but
about it.
But how did you feel about it?
I was indifferent, because that's my trash. If you're in my past, like... You're in my recycling bin. I don't care about
it. Well, you know what? I will say this. I think it has a lot to do with if you still have feelings for
yes.
that person.
So if Chris Brown still has feelings.
Clearly he does because he was pissed.
But it's all. I feel like it's also like part of his like makeup, right? Like his bravado is like, I can't let anything go. I can't let anything pass. Like, if
he let Rihanna pass.
But even so with that, like I feel like he's still petty with that sometimes and shit. Like. I personally just wouldn't care less. If somebody's in my past, they are like compartmentalized accordingly on the shelf.
Well, it is possible that somebody from your past, you still could have feelings for them.
Oh, that's...
You could clearly have moved on, but you still have feelings for them. And especially if the person that you know that don't like you is purposely putting up pictures of your exes just to get up under your skin. Mm-hmm. Yes, you're human. You can be mad about that.
Okay.
So I'm just saying. So in other words, what I'm trying to say is that I feel where Chris Brown was coming from. Like, nigga. Fuck you. You don't be posting up my ex with heart emojis. Fuck is you. There's a million and one chicks out here in the world. Why you post a picture of her?
But what the fuck does it say about us as a people that we're getting our fucking panties in a twist about heart eye emojis?
No,
fuck that shit.
Danny, we are human beings. Everybody has a right to flare up when they want to flare up.
But that's such a sad state of affairs. He's like,
you taking it from Chris Brown's point of view. But what about Soulja Boy? Why is you posting up pictures of Karrueche with heart emojis because you know you don't like Chris Brown? So you petty too. You petty wop too. So what? His feelings might be stupid to you by him getting all flared up because of the picture. But let's take it back to why did you post that picture?
Who cares? Like, well, I'm saying
somebody do.
Soulja Boy doesn't need a fucking motive. It's an Instagram account. I'm sure he posts.
Okay, so you all right with what Soulja Boy did?
I'm okay with that. Yeah.
All right, you petty wop too. So anyway, they supposed to be doing a 3-round pay-per-view fight in Dubai because all of this back and forth Instagram beef, because somebody said, you know what? Instead of going all back and forth with that, take it to the ring fight like men. So they agreed to do a 3-round pay-per-view fight in Dubai. Originally, it was supposed to be in Las Vegas, but Las Vegas don't play that shit when it comes to paid fights and drug testing.
Yeah, they also need to get boxing licenses. They need all that shit.
But most importantly, drug testing. Okay? So whatever that means. So the like I said,
and athletic commissions. Who's going to commission 2 non-fighters? I know I'm getting really technical with it, but like, this is it's a sideshow.
Yeah, whatever.
It's so basically, Dubai will gladly host it. Okay.
Absolutely. So to do this fight was originally Floyd Mayweather's idea. Floyd has agreed to train Soulja Boy. 50 Cent came in, and 50 Cent is Team Breezy.
And he's also the ultimate opportunist. Talk about anytime he sees a dollar sign.
And he loves beef, too, by the way.
He's going to chase that.
Right. So he took the side of Chris Brown, and he also asked Mike Tyson if Mike Tyson will come in and train Chris Brown. Now, there's a lot of mixed feelings about this fight. There's a whole bunch of people talking about, why are we encouraging black people to fight all the time, and it gotta be a better way, and this is a disgrace, and there's other ways that we can straighten this out. Listen, you know what I say?
What do you say?
You know what I say? I say that it's genius to me. Why? Because, first of all, clearly this has been going on long before the Karrueche picture, okay? The bottom line is they don't like each other. That's obvious. They're going back and forth with the personal insults and the violent threats. What do we plan to do? We're going to sit around and wait for each other to bump into each other so they can pop off and then shoot each other and kill each other? No. If that doesn't happen, then what's going to happen is Chris Brown entourage is going to run into somebody from his entourage, and they're going to pop off, and somebody going to get shot or killed or something. No. Take it back to the old days, like how we used to do when we had a problem with somebody in the old days. What we did, we said, yo, let's fight it out, and let's just get it all. Yo,
and if we can make a few million dollars along the way.
Well, the money's supposed to be fighting for $1 million. And the majority of the money is supposed to be going to charity. They say all the money, you know goddamn well ain't all that money ain't going to charity, because I can't even see them working out and taking the time and doing all of this without them getting laced with some type of money. But I feel that if we took it back in the days like how we did, and we just fought shit out, and I don't see nothing wrong with that. I think that could possibly save a freaking life.
How do you feel about the idea of like, and I am the least educated person with this shit, but like, why didn't someone, or maybe this happened, drop like a diss track or some shit like that? Like, you're recording artists, you're beefing with one another. Doesn't this shit usually kind of like come to a fever pitch with a diss track where Chris Brown would be like, why are you doing this? And that's then Soulja Boy would be like, fuck you, I'm gonna say other shit.
Are you saying that?
Like, why don't you stay in your lane, like, and do that?
Because that's corny.
Why, when Drake did it, was he a fucking god for ripping Meek Mill?
Well, Drake, I mean,
like, wasn't that a beef as well? And wasn't that softer music?
So what is Chris Brown gonna do? He's gonna sing a song, and then Soulja Boy is gonna rap a rap?
No, I'm not trying to advocate for this.
No, but I'm just saying,
I'm just saying, you're a recording artist. You're supposed to be the upper echelon of what you do.
I could see if it was both rappers.
You should be silver tongued.
They're not rappers though. One is a singer, one is a rapper. So like, for him to come out with a diss song might not be.
Oh, Chris Brown isn't a rapper.
No, he's not a rapper.
Shows what I know.
But I'm just saying that, yo, if you're mad and you feel like to the point where you
I'm all for fisticuffs.
Oh,
all
okay.
For it.
I am too.
All for it. And are we at the point yet where we're picking sides?
I don't pick the side.
You're not going to?
I did.
You're on?
Team Breezy.
Breezy is?
Chris Brown.
Chris Brown.
Yeah. I want Chris Brown.
Why? Because you don't think Soulja Boy should have posted that thing?
No, absolutely.
This goes way back?
All right, well, just for general knowledge, I don't like Soulja Boy.
Okay, why?
I don't know. I just think
you're not a fan of his music, or you don't like him.
No, I liked his song that he had out by the back in the day when he had the little dance to his song and all of that. I'm not hating on his music or whatever. Okay. I don't really know any other songs that he's done, honestly, okay, besides that one Soulja Boy dance, whatever. But right, I like that just okay, as much as the next person. But I am just, I'm not on Team Breezy's side just because I think that Chris Brown is going to win, which I know that he's going to win. Mm-hmm. I'm on his side because I'm a Chris Brown fan. Okay. That's first off.
Perfect.
You understand? Perfect. And, you know, I love Chris Brown's music.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not saying that I'm all for him going off on rants or whatever, because we all have our shit with them. Ain't mm-hmm, nobody perfect. But Soulja Boy has a history of talking a lot of shit.
Okay.
And I'm curious to know if maybe you can back some of that up in the ring. Like, shut the fuck up. Sometimes that's what you need to do. You need to fight somebody to let them know, shut the fuck up.
So, as far as where my allegiance lies, Soulja Boy is with Floyd Mayweather, correct?
Yes. And Chris, you hate Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah, let's build this.
Okay, go.
And Chris Brown is affiliated with Mike Tyson.
I love, correct? Mike Tyson.
Okay.
Mike Tyson is from Brooklyn. Don't forget, since we starting from the root, let's start from the root.
Perfect.
Okay,
let's go way back.
He said perfect.
My grandfather mm-hmm, was a 2-time New Jersey State Golden Gloves winner back in the 30s.
What's grandpa's name?
Tony Mastalone.
All right, Tony.
So, when I was growing up, we would go over his house and watch the Mike Tyson pay-per-views.
Okay.
In the 80s and early 90s. And Mike Tyson would wreck people. I owned Mike Tyson Punch-Out.
Oh.
I was a big, big Tyson fan.
Okay.
Huge. So.
And not to mention, you absolutely despise.
Right. On the flip side of the coin, I fucking hate Floyd Mayweather.
Would you like to tell our people why?
Floyd, I could write a fucking book. Holy shit. Floyd Mayweather, I don't really love the way that he positions himself. I don't like the way that he carries himself. Mm-hmm. I don't like the way that he boxes. I don't think he's entertaining. I think he is just a miserable person. I think he is.
Tell me how you really feel.
If you want to use a word that we're probably going to mention later, he is a deplorable.
Oh.
And I don't really like. I don't like money. I just. I don't like it.
You don't like money?
I don't like his demeanor, his whole money persona. Mm-hmm. Floyd Money. It's just not.
I feel you.
What it's about.
It can become a little annoying.
With that all being said.
Right.
I don't really even like Chris Brown so much, but of the four
I know you don't like him so
of
much.
Of the four
either.
Or five people we've talked about, Soulja Boy, Chris Brown,
Mike
Floyd, Floyd Mayweather, Mike Tyson, 50 Cent. Okay. I fucking hate Floyd Mayweather and I love Mike Tyson, so my affiliation will be with Chris Brown.
Yay, I'm glad. Because I wanted to know if you wanted to do a little wager.
But we're on the same team.
Right, so we can't. Obviously.
I don't know if I would put money on this. I don't even know what Soulja Boy looks like. I don't know if he's scrawny. Are they even in the same weight class? Is this an open weight? What is this? Are they going to have a catch weight?
It doesn't matter. They're both skinny.
I mean, but this shit matters.
Why does it matter? It's not a professional fight.
If Chris Brown is a buck 70 and Soulja Boy is a buck 35, you better believe that means something. I'm just saying.
I don't really think it's that big of a difference, but they're both thin. Okay? And I just feel like, not for nothing, I don't care if Chris Brown was 250 pounds. If it, you want to come and fight a square one, a fair one, then you just go ahead and let's just fight it out. Like, who cares?
When
we was in the school lunchroom and somebody was talking shit, you ain't say, yo, hold on, how much he weighs? Pop off.
Can we put on the record that I've never been in a fight in my life?
Really?
Are you fucking kidding me?
Your life?
Do I look like I've been in fights?
No, you haven't.
I've never been in a fight. Oh. I've thrown a punch. But I've never been.
That's a fight.
No.
But did the person get knocked out?
They fell. but that was not a fight.
Wait a minute. So you're trying to tell me you nice with your hands?
Oh, God.
Danny, well, I've been in several fights when I was in school.
This
is Brooklyn.
How old were you at your latest fight? When did you retire? When did you hang up the gloves?
I don't know, maybe ninth grade or something like that.
Okay.
Something like that. You know what I mean? But you know, where I come from,
it's common.
Yo, people try to come for you
right,
all the time.
Right.
And it could be times when you don't even feel like getting into nothing. But you know, let me slap this bitch real quick. Because I'm sick of you, you
right,
know? But that's what I feel like it came to this.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, I'm totally for it. I think it's dope. I think it's disciplined. Mm-hmm. I think it's, you know, I don't think it's animalistic in any way. It's just get in this ring, let's throw a fair one, and hopefully when this is over, it's really over.
Yeah, and to your point, this could have devolved into like guns and
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, nobody had time for that.
You don't need that.
Nobody got time for that. So yeah, if Eddie, y'all could go ahead and make a little coin off of this and somebody can benefit, especially a charity, why not? Why not? I know one thing, if Pooh was in town, because it's supposed to be happening in March, I want to do a little fight party. Okay, I'm gonna do a little fight party. We got the little derby durs popping off, and we can make it an event because you know I'm ordering that fight. Okay, and then they also said too that Kelly Rowland has signed up to do the national anthem.
Get out of here.
Yeah,
I like her. You want to talk about,
don't forget that was Khalil's little woman crush.
I know. You want to talk about people who are over an 8.5? Kelly Rowland.
Oh, yes.
For me.
I see you got a little tingle.
And
there.
We know we've already established my thoughts about Beyonce. Kelly Rowland.
I didn't like your lip when you said Beyonce, right? It hurt my nerve. It twisted a little bit.
Kelly Rowland, to me, supersedes Beyonce. That's just me.
That's okay.
You can address all hate mail to me for that, but I think Kelly Rowland is gorgeous.
Nobody can't knock somebody's opinion.
Oh.
You understand? Okay. That's your opinion and thank whatever. You. We fight each other all the time about our opinions, but it's still mine and it's still yours, mm-hmm. right? All right. True. So you like Kelly Rowland. You got a little moist when you talk about Kelly Rowland.
Ew.
Don't get me wrong. Kelly Rowland is a beautiful. Mm-hmm. I'm not mad at Kelly.
Okay.
You got that.
Now your voice is going
up. It's getting a little high because you put it in the same sentence as Beyonce and I still punch you on your face. But, I feel you. But anyway, I just feel like if more beefs was handled this way, a lot of people would probably be alive. So, yeah, we're going to go back to that in March and see how that pans out. So, in other news, I was super, super sad. And I know that you can't understand why.
Let me just go on record. She was as sad about this to just mentioning it via text to me. She put a little, you want to talk about emojis, a little tearful little emoji face when this topic was brought up. Please proceed.
Obama leaving. So I'm super sad about it. Anybody who knows me knows that I absolutely love Barack Obama. I love Barack Obama, Michelle Obama, Sasha Obama, Malia Obama, the whole first family. I love y'all and I'm really, really saddened to see y'all go. I feel that Barack Obama was not only an awesome president, but an awesome man. And what an example he was. Michelle Obama is a classy example of a first lady, and I just adore them. And we were talking a little bit about them, and you know, you was like, you know, do you really feel like you're super relatable to Obama because he's black? Damn right.
So
you
know,
that's part of the reason.
If 100% of your relatability is on the table, how much percent of that relatability would you say is because the president is African American?
That's
not me trying to like attack it or play devil's advocate. It's just like you say, he was the most relatable president. Is it because he seemed like an everyman? Would you say it's because he was black? Would you say it's because he loved his wife? Like what?
I would say maybe 25%.
A quarter of your 100 is because he's black.
Correct.
And the other 75 is?
Because?
Everything else.
Everything else.
Okay.
I just think that he's just a gentleman.
Okay.
Like, I just think that he displayed things that no other president has displayed before. And just him just showing that he's human. I never saw a president love their wife like that or display affection for their wife like how he displayed it. Or for his daughters. Or for his vice president, for that matter. Like, he's just a man to me with a heart. And, you know, everybody's so quick to run down what Barack Obama hasn't done. You know what I'm saying? Listen, he's one man. And I'm not gonna sit up here and I'm not gonna run down all the things that he hasn't done for us or what all the things that he has done for us. But I feel that the biggest thing that he's done for Americans, and I'm saying this because it affects me directly, is the Obamacare. Okay, so that's a big deal. And And of course, the Trump and the Republicans are, they trying to dead Obamacare. For what reason, I really don't understand to this day, which tells you right there that Trump will try to destroy anything that Obama had a hand in or trying to create. Because why would you try to destroy or condemn Obamacare when you don't have nothing else in place of it? 32 million Americans are on Obamacare and need Obamacare, but I don't give a fuck. I'm just want it abolished because I want it abolished. Like, that's what I'm saying. It's not the point of, to me, because I know we don't do political, but I'm just saying, it's not a white or a black thing. It's just a right and a wrong thing to me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's why I just despise Trump. And one of the many reasons why, it's just because you just do ignorant, evil shit just because, for no fucking reason. But anyway, Obama's farewell. Obama had a farewell speech, and it was just super, super touching to me. And it also, he gave that award. What was the name of that award?
The Congressional Medal of Honor?
Yes, the President Medal of Freedom. Sorry. Is what it was. He gave that to Joe Biden, which was totally unexpected for Joe Biden. I don't know if you saw that, but mm-hmm. Joe Biden was super, super emotional. And Barack Obama was like, now they can really talk about our bromance, because he has like a very, very deep respect, admiration, and love for Joe Biden. And I just love Barack Obama. Also, a couple of days ago, they had a special on ABC that was kind of like a musical tribute called Taking a Stage. And they had performers on there like Stevie Wonder, Usher, Gladys Knight, Common, a whole host of people, Mary J. Blige. And they also, in addition to performing, they honored African-American legends that kind of paved the way for us, you know, like the
Tuskegee Airmen.
Thank you. Tuskegee Airmen, which was so dope because they were all on stage. Some of them had their walkers and everything.
I was going to say, how many were there?
I think what living is like five left.
Okay.
And they also honored like Lena Horne, Moms Made Believe, Billie Holiday, Jesse Owens, just to name a few. And but during the Medal of Freedom ceremony, it was something that Joe Biden said about Barack Obama that really, really touched me in his speech, and it stood out. And he said, there's not one single solitary ounce of entitlement in Barack Obama. Not one single ounce of it. And that was something that he grew to love about him. And I just thought that that was just so deep, because a lot of people, even in our circle, they feel this strong sense of entitlement because they around you, or they feel that they can do what the fuck they want to do because we friends. And, you know, people carry that weight, and it's just a very unattractive trait that people have, and it's sickening. And it was so deep to me that he pointed out that that was something in him that didn't exist, and that's what kind of made him special. And I definitely can see that, although I don't know him personally, but I could see that, like, he's a giving person. And it's also ironic how that exact same trait is the opposite of our new president. You know, so it was kind of ironic in that way. So in addition to that, with our intelligent, well-spoken, handsome, hell of a man of a president is going out the door in a couple of days. And so now they're planning for the inauguration of Donald Demon Trump that is coming into the office. And so, you know, a lot of musical guests is being thrown around as to who's going to perform. And pretty much the African-American artist is like, kind of like, should we do this or should we not do this? You know, nobody wants to be the first one to dive in and say that they're willing to perform. And I ain't mad at that. You know what I'm saying? Like, right now, they're supposed to be saying that Flo Rida was in the talks of performing at the inauguration, and that they would pay him $1 million. And that's deep to me. Like, Like, how do you view that? I mean, I know you don't. It's not really relatable to you because you're not African American.
How do I view what? Flo Rida potentially taking $1 million to do the inauguration?
Right. I mean, you don't give a fuck because you're not African American. You don't understand how it is to be in that position where, because, you know, it's kind of like, you know what they're looking at it is like, who's going to be the first one to sing and dance for Massa? Who's going to be the first one to go up there and start cooning
right
for Massa? That's right. What it looks like. But it's kind of a messed up situation because $1 million is $1 million at the same time. And I was just sitting and I was talking to Pooh the other night, like, if they offered you $1 million to perform at Trump's inauguration, would you do it?
And
he was like, that's like something I probably need to sleep on, like, because that's $1 million. And I was like, and this is the perfect example of that's why it's beneficial for when you are in these situations for you to have a mate in your life, because there's no way on God's green earth that Pooh will perform in for Trump's inauguration.
Here's what I would say. If I'm your husband, if I'm Flo Rida, if I'm anybody, if I'm a black artist who doesn't agree with who's being inaugurated, I would say, fuck, if you want the money, I'm not just saying take the money. What I'm saying is it's all in how you position it. You could put out a social media post and a press release.
A disclaimer.
And a fucking, you can appear on Oprah tomorrow. Before you accept it, you can say, look, this isn't me doing the cash grab. This isn't me getting publicity. This is me trying to build from the rubble that we burned down over the last year and a half of an election. This is me trying to come together. This is me trying to...
Sounds like bullshit. Bring,
I'm just saying, that's all this is. It's all about appearances and it's all about money. So,
but not in here, it ain't. Okay, but, because you cannot put a price tag on integrity and morality, okay?
What if somebody actually believes it?
Well, we don't. We don't.
What if Flo Rida believes it?
I understand
it?
That $1 million is of super attractive.
You said Flo Rida, right?
Yeah.
What if Flo Rida said,
hey, we don't even know if it's true.
Hey, I'm a Miami guy. I know what it's all about when it comes to immigration in this country. I'm willing to maybe not forgive and forget, but maybe let's work together. Like, I'm just saying, you hear those words like that thrown around a lot. So somebody may be whispering in somebody's ear and say, hey, you could be the conduit of change. You could be the person who crosses the line.
$1 million is $1 million. I get it. You know what I'm saying? We've never had $1 million before. So it's super attractive.
Right.
But at the same time, how are we going to miss something we ain't never fucking had? But my
point is, it may not be about money for somebody. The inauguration very well may come and go, and we may not see a black face on that stage.
Oh, there will be.
But I'm saying, don't be surprised.
No, I won't be.
If the words that come out mirror what I just said. This wasn't about the money.
Right,
this
wasn't about
the publicity. This was about coming together. This was about moving together forward. This is about building up from what we burned down
right,
before.
Right. There's always going to be a reason as to why I can cash this check.
That's like a Mad Lib. You could just fill that shit out. I'm ready to fix.
Exactly.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
I feel you.
It's just all about like positioning and like people have their script writers and it's all bullshit.
Jennifer Holliday was supposed to sing.
And she bailed.
Right. But well, she said that she bailed because a lot of her gay fans was disappointed that she would take that and they meant more to her. And so I personally feel that number wasn't right. Jennifer Holliday said, I ain't doing that shit.
Well, think about this. Think about the names that are confirmed. It's Toby Keith.
Right.
It's Three Doors Down.
I don't know who those people are, but go ahead.
Well, I think there's something kind of poetic behind that.
Okay.
And there's, what's his name? Lee Greenwood, the guy who sang, God bless the USA.
Good night.
Okay. So you have, I almost feel like it's if South Park made an episode 5 years ago about a what if situation,
right.
You'd have these three people
I feel you.
Performing. So you have you have Toby Keith, who's like pro America, pro gun, just Southern guy, right?
Hate black people.
You have you have Three Doors Down, a band who peaked over 15 years ago with that song Kryptonite, Superman, where. I think it's kind of poetic because you have a band whose chorus of their song was, if I go crazy, will you still call me Superman? Mm. And it's kind of like, that's what everybody thinks about this presidency. Then you have the guy who wrote a patriotic song. So it's like...
And then he also wanted to have Paul Anka to sing at the inauguration. And that's the guy who sings I Did It My Way.
Well, that was Sinatra, wasn't it?
No.
Sinatra sang My Way.
No, this is another My Way then.
Paul Anka, if I'm a 70-year-old white guy, I'm Donald Trump, I probably grew up listening to Paul Anka, or at least my parents did.
Paul Anka said they've been friends for over 50 years.
Oh, yeah, Paul Anka had his, they're
But they're Paul Anka buddies. Declined.
Yeah.
He said that he didn't want to do it, but he gave a reason that he was going through a custody battle or whatever with his kid, and so the dates didn't coincide with each other. But the moral of the story is that even though they've been friends, mm-hmm. and that he was asked to sing the song for him, mm-hmm. I don't believe that no custody dates had it. He don't want to do it. He didn't vote for Trump. Said that. He clearly said he doesn't have the same beliefs as mm-hmm. Trump. But you know good and damn well, if he wanted to do it, he would have done it.
I think this is just another piece of news that will pass.
I'm curious to see.
Everybody's going to wake up the next day, and it ain't no thing. Like,
it's not a big deal to you, but you know. I get it. You know, it's not relatable to you. You can really care less.
Well, about the inauguration, I mean.
No, about the black people who's going to perform or who's not going to perform. Snoop Dogg said that whoever performs, he's going to roast the shit out of them.
I think you have to weigh your options, right? It's like, is it worth whatever I'm doing to sacrifice potentially the rest of my career, right?
That's what it boils down to.
I would imagine a lot of people.
That's what it boils down to. Like, is that $1 million like when, that serious?
Just like when an athlete leaves town, they start burning the jerseys. Maybe Flo Rida don't get. Maybe they start burning Flo Rida CDs. Who knows? I mean, you just have to weigh it.
You never know.
You have to weigh it.
You're right. So, and another thing they was all pissed off about is Steve Harvey meeting up with Donald Trump. And again, I had mixed feelings about that too. I know how I felt about Steve Harvey. Harvey is ours. You understand what I'm saying? We don't want Steve Harvey going up there talking to Donald Trump about nothing that we can't hear.
Can I ask a question?
Go.
Are the next 4 years going to be like being upset if a prominent black figure does anything with
upset.
The president?
You know, that's a good question.
It's an honest question. Like, is it always going to be like, how could so-and-so do such and such?
That's my initial feeling when I saw Steve Harvey up there. And then after I sat and I thought about it, Steve Harvey was like, listen, he called me. He asked me to come and meet with him and talk to him about, you know, stopping crime and whatever in urban communities or whatever. And you know what? Like I told you earlier, I'm not totally mad at Steve. You know what I'm saying? Because sometimes you feel like maybe you could sit down and work with the demon. Do you understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So people act different when they online and on the gram and they talking shit, and then you see that person in their face and now it's a whole nother daggone tune they singing.
Right.
You understand? So maybe he was able to sit down, look him in his eyes as a man and say, look, are you genuine? Are you sincere? Are you really trying to help? Which I kind of find it a little funny that, you know, Donald Trump would pick Steve Harvey to talk to instead of Barack Obama. But that's another, story, whatever. But I'm not mad at Steve. I was initially annoyed, yes. But I'm not mad because Steve is ultimately trying to do something positive with what we have. He's going to be our president. We got to eat that. I get it. Everybody's going like, oh, he ain't my president. Yo, listen. The message is, let's move forward. Let's do something positive. It needs to be more love in the world. That's the problem. That's another reason why I was so annoyed that Trump became president, because he spewed so much hate and people went for that. Like, you gonna sit up there and make fun of a disabled person. You make fun of, like, that's okay. That's not okay. It's not a black-white thing. It's a right-wrong thing. And that's why I love Barack Obama, because Barack Obama spewed love. And he wasn't ashamed to display. All right, but I could go on and on about Barack Obama, because you know how I love Barack Obama. But anyway, and then after Steve Harvey met with him, D.L. Hughley came out and said some stuff about he was pissed. Talking about you set up there, you meet with comedians, athletes, entertainers. I got a problem with that. Which I wasn't mad with D.L. Hughley said that. Why he ain't want to meet with no activists? You understand? Why you meeting with a football player? I totally get it. There's plenty of people that he could have met with. Maybe an Al Sharpton, or I don't know. Maybe Al Sharpton might not have been the right person, because you know the Klan's people that's behind Trump wouldn't approve of that. Mm. But anyway, but I'm just saying, maybe it could have been a little bit somebody else, like an Angela Davis, maybe. How about Sandra Bland's mother? How about somebody like that he could have actually sat down to try to make a difference with? Nevertheless, I'm trying to be positive. I understand why DL is angry. You know what I'm saying? DL said, I ain't feeling how you doing right now. I wasn't feeling how you was feeling before. I ain't feeling how you feeling now. And I totally get it. But the main goal is hopefully we can move forward and try to do something positive. And that's all I got to say about that.
Yeah, I think you could either have a gridlock or you could have that conversation that everybody wants everybody to have. Have the conversation, talk to people, all that shit. I mean,
yeah, it's no point of us sitting here being mad.
Yeah.
It's like, it is what it is.
I'm trying to like relate, but I really can't.
I understand. It's hard. I don't really expect it.
It's
to.
Hard.
I just want you to understand where I'm coming
from. I get it.
You understand what I'm saying? I'm a brown girl. You know what I'm saying? Feel me.
I get it.
That's all I'm saying, but it is what it is. I know we rambled, but I'm dying.
You rambled. I know. No, I'm fucking with you.
this is what I do. But I'm dying to get to this song. Okay. And I know we're wrapping up. So for everybody who was watching last week and we had the live show and we were so caught up with Khalil and what he was talking about and Danny with his Jackson 5 song that I forgot to assign Danny a song last week for homework this week. So Danny hits me and he says, don't worry about it. I think of my own song, which I don't usually do because you know he gonna come up in here with some easy shit. No, this was like
Christmas came early.
So I let him slide. And so your song today is?
So I wanted to kind of tie in where we were last week. So Khalil Kane.
Good night.
Touched on his time in California. So I said, what better
than
to represent?
And you know what? I'm sorry to cut you off, Danny, but something just came to my mind that is super, super important. Sure. And I don't know how the hell I forgot this. Happy birthday to Martin Luther King.
Yeah, we'll be.
Everybody that's up tomorrow. Here, y'all happy? Y'all. It's not tomorrow.
It's today.
Don't play with me.
We're off work tomorrow.
That's all y'all care about. It's that day off, that 3-day weekend. But today is the King's birthday, and I just want to say happy birthday to Martin Luther King. Okay, now I'm sorry. Continue on.
You mentioned living in California, Khalil Kane did. And I said, what better than to just do a song by a California rapper?
Oh, shit. Why not? I'm scared.
So, for those of you who don't know, every week Shay assigns me a song that I probably have never heard before, one in hip hop, so on and so forth, and I do my own little rendition. Please don't look at the words. I don't want to spoil it.
Okay.
So here we go.
Who's the artist? Oh, it's totally a surprise?
You're going to find out.
Oh.
So here we go.
Okay.
Hope you enjoy it. Now Nate got the freaks, and that's a known fact. Before I got Jack, I was on the same track. Back up, cause it's on. N-A-T-E-N me, the Warren to the G. Just like I thought, they were in the same spot, in need of some desperate help.
Uh-oh.
The Nate Dogg and the G-Child were in need of something else. One of them dames is sexy as hell. I said, ooh, I like your size. She said, my car's broke down and you seem real nice.
Well,
would you let me ride? I got a car full of girls and it's going real swell. The next stop is the East Side Motel. I'm tweaking into a whole new era. G-Funk, step to this, I dare ya. Funk on a whole new level. The rhythm is a bass and the bass is a treble. Chords, strings, we brings melody. G-Funk, where rhythm is life and life is rhythm. If you know like I know, you don't wanna step to this. It's the G-Funk era, funk down with a gangster twist. And if you smoke like I smoke, then you're high like every day. And if your ass is a buster, 213 will regulate.
Never cease to amaze me. That was dope, Danny.
You like that?
Oh my goodness.
I don't know what year that came out.
You wasn't born.
I might have been born, you maybe. But that was one of my earliest like hip hop memories, if I have any.
Danny, you surprised me just now.
Yeah, you like that? That was all right. That was a good substitute.
Oh my god. Yeah. You little oh shit. Yo, I was feeling that, Danny.
I'm glad. Thank you. Wow. It was something I just had in my head. I was
maybe
like, fuck it.
Maybe I'll let you get creative.
Once in a while?
Yeah, what's that? You know, every now and then, again.
Hmm.
Wow.
You dug it?
I really did. Cool. You know what your grade is for today?
What's my grade for today?
I'm going to give you an A+.
Yay!
Danny, you did your damn thing.
It was, hey, I love that song.
I do too.
Good.
Wow.
See what happens when good music?
You know what, Danny?
What?
You know what I really like? That you came in with something I like, too. You knew I liked that hip-hop. You know.
I knew if I came in and I played, like, a fucking Metallica song.
I would be so
I would
pissed.
Get shit on.
You would get a D.
Right.
Right.
So I was like, you know what? I know what you like. And the shit that, like, covers the stuff that you like and I like is very thin.
Right.
So I was like, let me just try it. And then.
It was dope.
I'm glad.
I'm proud.
I hope the universe liked it.
They had to. It was dope.
Thank you.
Wow, Danny. Okay. Well, I know that we're a little over today, but I can't leave today without giving you a song for next week.
Right.
And so the song for next week, Sunday, January 22nd, in the honor of the greatest president that we ever had.
He was not a rapper.
He was not a rapper, in honor.
Okay.
But in my opinion, Barack Obama, I want you to sing a song that was written by a talented Kansas City social worker named Joey Gallant. Write it down. Joey Gallant. He got this song out here on the net that is phenomenal. And he paid a high honor to Barack Obama with a magnificent tribute. And the song is called Obama.
I'm playing a song called Obama next
week. Obama by Joey Gallant. And let me tell you something. Joey Gallant sung his freaking face off. And I'm going to need you to do that justice. Okay? I'm going to need that. I'm talking about in my life. I'm going to need that. It's a little out of your range, but I know that you can do it. That's it.
So is he even a recording artist or was he just like you? I love Obama. I'm put out a song.
I think that's exactly what he is. And I'm going to tell you right now, after that tribute that he put out to the Obama, he going to have a record deal real soon.
Mm.
And you going to see why. So that's your homework. Joey Gallant. The song is Obama. I know that you don't give a damn about Obama, but I'm going to need that in my life.
You got it.
Okay. Thank you. So we about to wrap stuff up. And before I go, I just want to say thank you again. I'm so looking forward to this new year, 2017. I see really big things for us. I think that, in my opinion, that we've done a great job thus far. And I just want to say thank you to everybody who's been supporting us and diligently watching and diligently listening. Your support means everything to us. So please keep supporting us on Lachey Show at email us at LacheyShow@gmail.com. Anything that you want to say, questions, what have you. Lachey Show on Facebook. Please continue to support us. Lachey Show on Instagram. Lachey Show Mixcloud. Lachey Show on iTunes. Again, I'm sorry. I got to say Mixcloud award-winning Lachey Show is on the Gram, Facebook, Twitter. Did I forget
BrooklynRadio.com.
BrooklynRadio.com for the audio. If you missed the live show, you can always catch the audio every following Tuesday at BrooklynRadio.com. And you can be reached, sir?
At Danny Love, BITW. That's on Twitter and that's on Instagram.
Thanks, y'all. Lachey Show. Lachey Show.